talk about the discretion of Nehemiah, the quality of discretion, the leadership quality of discretion, the discretion of Nehemiah. That's going to be the focus for tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 6, we'll begin in verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Verse number 8. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterwards I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Delaiah, the son of Metha, pray for me, Tabel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us tonight as we take a look at this matter of discretion. Lord, the important quality, the attribute, Lord, it's a divine attribute. It's an attribute that is gifted, Lord, to your children that can be developed in us. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be a people with discretion. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, protect us. Help us, Lord, to know what to get involved with and what not to get involved with. Help us to know what accusations to answer and what things to just leave alone. Help us to know, and Lord, what advice to listen to, what counsel to heed, and what counsel to ignore. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to stay very close. You've gifted us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, he's certainly able to give us discretion. You've gifted us with a Bible. From its pages, Lord, we can learn discretion. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Be with our young people. So important at a young age they learn and grab hold of discretion, that they understand that quality, the importance of it. So meet with us tonight. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The quality of discretion, or the discretion of Nehemiah, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then we're going to take a little bit of time here, and we're going to study out what this word means. We're going to chase it down a little bit, and then we'll also go through Nehemiah chapter 6 and illustrate it in Nehemiah's life, discretion. What does it mean to have discretion? Let me ask you an honest question. Do you have discretion? Do you have good spiritual discretion? Let me go to Malachi, first of all, chapter number 3. Mark your place here in Nehemiah, because we will be coming back and revisiting Nehemiah, Malachi chapter number 3. And most Baptist people should be thrilled that we are going to go to Malachi chapter number 3. And we are not going to say the T word at all, okay? I know, it's an amazing thing. Can a Baptist preacher go to Malachi chapter 3 and read some of the other verses? Well, I'm going to try, but I'm not going to make any promises. Malachi chapter number 3. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 13. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. By the way, be very careful that you're not guilty of saying these things against the Lord. You know, a lot of times if you've served the Lord for a long period of time and you've been faithful to the Lord, and then you know what? You go through a downtime, you go through a time of testing, you go through a time of want. It's easy to say, you know what? God's not a good God. God's not fair. Here I've been faithful all these years, and yet look what me and my family are having to go through, or look what I'm having to go through. And folks, let me just say this. We ought to serve God long term, whether or not we have good days, bad days, or in-between days. And we owe God faithfulness. And I dare you to show me anywhere in the Bible or where it is in the Bible that says that a Christian is never going to go through a hard time, a difficult time, or a time of testing. That's part of the Christian life. And so be very careful. He said, ye have said it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Well, I'll tell you what, I've done all this and God's just not been fair to us. Now that's a bunch of baloney. That's not true, and that's a wrong accusation to lay at the feet of God. Now, verse 16, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, notice this, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And we're talking about the word discernment here, or the ability to discern. I'm going to have you take your Bibles now, and we're going to go over, remember that now, before we get away from here. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Now, wait a minute. Let's just stop right there before we go to Proverbs. Let's put a definition on this matter of discernment or discretion, godly discretion. And this is what we're going to focus on. This is what we're going to talk about. What does it mean to have discretion? Well, let's put a definition on it. Then I want to study it through the Bible a little bit. Take the first few minutes, just chase this word a little bit. Discretion comes from a root word that means a verdict. The word verdict is connected with discretion. Now, let me give you the whole definition. To have discretion means this: to have the ability to properly judge a situation and pronounce a correct, a righteous verdict. And it may be a favorable verdict or it may be an unfavorable verdict, but it is a righteous, correct verdict. Now, let me say that again. The ability to properly judge a situation and pronounce a correct verdict. Now, if you were to serve on a jury, you know what? You would need some discernment, because at the end of the trial, you're going to have to vote guilty or non-guilty. And you know what? If the proper verdict ought to be guilty, then you, if you have discretion or discernment and that person is guilty, then you ought to vote guilty. And if the person is innocent and you have proper discretion or discernment, and you know what? If the verdict is favorable and he's innocent, then vote innocent. But you have to be able to weigh the evidences. You have to be able to make a judgment call. Let me just shoot something out of the sky. Let me just get rid of a thought that floats around in a lot of Christians' minds. It's amazing to me how we take one verse and quote it and decide that we're going to build a doctrine on it or behavior pattern on it. And people will say, well, it's not right to judge. Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. It's not right to judge. You know, and usually the person that's saying that's the person who's being judged and found guilty by someone with some discernment. What do you mean it's not right to judge? Where do you get that at? Bible says, doesn't say judge not, period. It's not an imperative. It's not a Bible command. It's just simply telling you that if you judge, it judge not lest ye be judged. And it goes on to say, listen, whatever you judge in that person's life, you're going to stand in judgment of that same thing in your own life. So to be careful in judging. Now, folks, before you build a behavior pattern or make a decision about whether you're going to judge people or not, you ought to take everything that the Bible says about that word and study it out. What you're going to find out is that you and I have to use godly discernment, godly discretion every day of our lives. We have to make judgment calls. And we ought to do so in such a manner that exhibits godly discernment. You see, and so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. It's important. It's important that we make these decisions, that we have the ability, the God-gifted ability, to be able to pronounce a correct verdict based on proper evidences and not just our own prejudice or whether or not that's my buddy or not, so I'll jump on his side or her side, or I'm related to them, so I'll be for what they're for and against what this person's for. You know, that's not godly discernment. Discernment looks at the facts of the situation. You know, emotion, let me just say this, emotion's the enemy of discernment. Sometimes we get so emotional, we get emotionally invested in a situation, or we get all up in the air of a situation, or we think we have to defend somebody because they're our friend or they're related to us, and we lose discernment. You see, and discernment or discretion, again, is the ability to properly judge a situation, pronounce a correct verdict, whether that verdict is favorable or whether it is unfavorable. Now, let's take a little time and let's look at some scriptures together, shall we? And use your Bible. I think it'll help you. Psalm chapter 112, or the 112th Psalm. Psalm 112, 112th Psalm. Let's start there. And if you have a pen handy, you might want to mark some of these verses, because I don't think, folks, that this is a subject that we probably come upon often enough and we spend much time on. So let's take full of advantage of God shining the spotlight on Nehemiah and showing us that he was gifted with a spiritual or godly discretion. Psalm 112, verse number 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Now again, I read this verse because I want you to understand something. A man's affairs is that man's business. Does that make sense to you? Throughout your day, you're going to have things that are your business. And in areas that are your business, you're going to have to make judgment calls on areas that are your business, in your life affairs, in areas that are your business, in areas that are your business, in areas that are your business, is in areas that are your business, in areas that are your business, in your life affairs, you're going to have to make judgment calls. Stop being an armchair quarterback. Stop sitting around trying to live everybody's life for them. Try to decide right and wrong when you don't even have evidences. You don't know the evidence of it. You don't know the story. You don't know both sides of it. But you're just the proclaimer of verdicts. And you're not even involved in the situation. That's unwise. That's not discernment. You ought to have enough discernment sometimes to know that it's none of your discernment's business. I'm helping you right now if you'll be helped. In your life affairs, though, you're going to go through life and you're going to be faced with situations. And you know what? It is your business. It is on your table. It is your job to make a decision. And folks, you have to, and I have to, use godly discernment when I'm making these decisions. When I'm making these decisions, you see. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm going to give you several things that will help you in this matter of making right decisions. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4. And I'll begin back in verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now you see in verse 2, 3, and 4, you see it begins with to know, to receive, to give. And in chapter number 1, we're seeing that these are talking about the purposes of the Proverbs. And let me just give you something that will help all of you. I'm telling you, if you are going to develop spiritual discernment, let me recommend all of the Bible, but especially the book of Proverbs. A person that spends a lot of time in Proverbs, a person that really studies Proverbs, a person who seeks after wisdom as we are instructed to seek after wisdom in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs will help you to have discernment. So I'm recommending that book. Young men, we're going to talk to you in a minute. Young ladies, we're going to talk to you in a minute. One of the things that God wants you to develop in your youth is some discernment. May I highly, highly, highly recommend to you the book of Proverbs. I would spend time in the book of Proverbs every single day of my life if I was a teenager. I'm just telling you, I think it's a good thing to do. Isn't it neat how God allowed the book of Proverbs to be divided into 31 chapters? And that coincides with the numbers of days in a month. And I know some have 30 and some have less. But overall, a person could just say, you know what? I'm just going to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every single day. And if it's today's the 22nd, is that right? 26th, okay, good, all right, good. I didn't have much discernment, did I, there? 26th, it's the 26th already? Do you know my birthday's coming up? Have I mentioned that? Yes, August 30th. How many of you were born in August? Raise your hand. These are the most intelligent people in our church right there. One of the marks of greatness, one of the marks of discretion and wisdom, and not to mention just... wonderful personalities. I mean, you know. And so anyway, 4 days away, huh? 4 days away. Wow. Okay. I'm thrilled, you can tell. I'm going to tell you, I'm bothered by this next birthday. And I'm bothered by just about all of them, but for different reasons. I don't like turning 46. I always felt like if you're in your 40s, this is how I view it. If I ask somebody, and I know they're in their 40s, how old are they? They say 42. They say 43. I'm thinking, well, that's the downside. That's not bad. But if they give me a high 40s number, I'm thinking old. I'm sorry, I do. I'm thinking, man, you might as well say 50. You're pretty much done. You know, there's nothing left, man. I mean, you know, start checking out the nursing home. Go try out the walker. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry about that, but I'm having problems with this. 46 is practically 50, right? You might as well say just 50. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm in so much trouble from everybody in this. About half the congregation is mad at me right now. That's right. Here we go. Discretion. I'm going to spend more time in the book of Proverbs this month. Make a note on that. More time in Proverbs. I'll do that this month. Okay. All right. Now, one of the purposes of the Proverbs is to develop some discretion. And the Proverbs will give you wisdom. And wisdom, discretion, is a byproduct of wisdom. So you gain knowledge, you gain understanding, and you graduate to wisdom where you know how to decipher and use that wisdom or that knowledge and understanding. And then God gives you some discretion. Because, see, these Proverbs just aren't neat little sayings that's fun to memorize. They are patterns of life. They help you to discern human behavior. They help you to discern circumstances, but especially human behavior. And so I would recommend Proverbs, please, and consider that. Proverbs chapter number 2, let's go there in verse number 10. Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Notice this, and again, boy, you go through Proverbs and you see this word a lot, and it's connected with wisdom. When wisdom... Well, this is a huge verse. I wish we'd slow down and really absorb the Bible. Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Well, I'm going to tell you, how do I get that? How do I get you there? Folks, there's a difference between having wisdom enter your head and wisdom enter your heart. It's when you decide to fall in love with wisdom, not tolerate it, and the teaching of it. Oh, here we go again. Why don't you fall in love with wisdom? It's the best friend you've got. I mean, you ought to seek after it. I mean, you ought to have a love relationship with wisdom. And so, and then it says, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. And again, so much of this is attitude. Some folks want to learn. They want to know. They want to study. And you know what? It's pleasant. It's not something they endure or they have to be forced to do. They want it. They love it. It's pleasant to them. When you get to that point in your life, and I pray that you're there, then notice this, verse 11. Because the sentence does not end in verse number 10. Notice that? You see the punctuation mark there at the end of verse 10? When wisdom enter to thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. And one of the byproducts of learning wisdom and having it, putting it into your heart, of learning to love and knowledge and learning to love the things of God and to study the Bible and to get the wisdom and understanding of God, when you fall in love with it, one of the byproducts is discretion. Now, I don't know what your attitude towards godly wisdom is. I don't know what your attitude towards godly principles are. But you ought to be after them. You ought to seek after them. You ought to chase after them. You ought to study this book and embrace the truths of God. And if you do that, what you're going to find out is as you absorb those things into your heart, as they become a part of who you are, then you know what? You're going to see circumstances a lot more clearly and from a God viewpoint, not a carnal viewpoint. You're going to see the spiritual ramifications of a situation, not the carnal ramifications. It doesn't mean you're devoid of emotion. It means you look and have a God emotion about something. You have the same emotion about it that God would have. If God looks at something and makes him mad, you're going to look at something that's going to make you mad. If you look at something that makes God glad, you're going to look at that thing that makes God glad. You're going to see things from his viewpoint. That's so important. Now listen, I'm talking about discretion. I'm talking about the ability to properly judge a situation, pronounce a correct verdict, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, not based on your mood of the day or whether or not the people involved are people you like or dislike, but based on truth of the situation, you see. And that's developed as you get into the Word of God and as you seek out wisdom and understanding. Let me have you go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're pretty much there. Verse 19. Let me say a word to the young men because God does here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 19. The Bible says that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. And by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son. Notice that. My son. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. We're going to see this in the book of Nehemiah, but you know what? The fact that Nehemiah had godly discretion saved his life. Saved his life. Saved his ministry. Saved his reputation. Because he had some godly discretion, godly discernment. You know, just because you can don't mean you should. There's a lot of things that's not sinful, they're just stupid. Write that in a fly leaf of your Bible somewhere. Write that down, yes. Put Jerry Ross's name beside it. One of the great quotes. I'm serious. There's some things that are not sinful, they're just stupid. And you got to use some discretion. Young man, you can ruin your reputation so quick and never done a thing wrong. But you didn't use any sense. You can be with the wrong crowd, and you know what? You didn't do anything wrong, but somebody in the crowd does something wrong. Guess what? You're going to live with it. You're going to live with the reputation of somebody else's action. You can spend the rest of your life, well, I didn't. No, you didn't use any discretion, though. You didn't use any good sense. You put yourself in a compromising situation. You see, you've got to use good sense. You've got to use discernment here. And so be very careful. Be very careful. And again, I know that he's writing this to his son. And I know that this is true for young ladies too. But young men, I think one of the things that you need to develop in your life is discretion. You have got to be careful about what you do and where you go. And that's why the Bible instructs us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to avoid the appearance of evil, to abstain from the appearance of evil. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of things that are not wrong with it. They still look bad. And you just got to use some sense. Okay, it's not worth running your testimony over. It's not worth running your reputation. And I will tell you this, small town Indiana, small town rural Greene County, for the most part, would rather believe the bad than the good. Sorry, it's called human nature. Sorry, it's just the way it is. It's our carnal nature. And so what you've got to do is you've got to protect your reputation, the reputation of your family. You've got to do that. You've got to use some discretion in as far as your actions. Now get a hold of wisdom. Use some good sense. Proverbs chapter 5, let me talk to the young ladies for a minute. Well, not yet. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, since we're probably on the same page there. Proverbs 5, 1 and 2, let's read that. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Now, I read this one because it gives you a great principle in how to learn discernment. Notice what he says in verse 1, because it's connected to verse 2. My son, attend unto whose wisdom? Yeah, daddy's talking here. Daddy's talking to his boy. Now, I know ultimately it's the wisdom of God because it's the Word of God here, and he's going to give him godly wisdom, but he's saying, son, would you listen to me? He's saying, would you sit down and listen to some wisdom I'm going to teach you? And he said, bow thine ear to my understanding. Now, young people, do you know what that's very, very interesting, that bow thine ear. You know what that is talking about? Listening from a standpoint of humility. Being humble enough to take some good advice, take some good counsel from somebody older than you. Brother Jerry, how do I develop discretion? What if I see a situation, I've got to make a judgment call, but I honestly don't know what decision to make? That's why very early in your Christian life and throughout your life, you would be well served to get godly wisdom. Go see people that have been farther down the road from you. Go see people that have lived a godly life. Go get to somebody that maybe knows the scriptures a little better than you and that could help you and give you some good counsel and advice. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm helping you here if you listen to me. Listen, the honest truth is, if you're faced with a decision and you know what, you've got to make the call, you've got to pronounce the verdict, and you just don't know, then you know what? Then use the tool of counsel. Use the tool of, I got to make a decision, Brother Jerry, on this. And I'm not sure what the will of God is. I'm not sure what the right thing to do is. Get godly counsel. Get godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's go there. This is good for us tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. This is good for you if you've been saved for 6 months or 60 years. It really is. Discretion is such an important attribute. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. 11:22. Young ladies, look at this verse and please mark it. It's amazing how wonderfully descriptive the Bible is at times. I mean, as Jewel, country people really enjoy these type of verses. This gets down to where we live. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. That's a pig's nose, by the way, for those of you that have trouble understanding the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. As a jewel of gold in a pig's nose or swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. And let me say something to young ladies, especially, but any, this goes to any lady. Ladies, you have to have discretion. You have to have discretion. Listen, you can't get by on your good looks. Sorry. Wish life was that easy. You know, well, I'll just flatter my way and personality my way through life. You're going to end up in trouble. You've got to have some discretion. Now, what does that mean? That means you can't always take what somebody's saying to you on face value. You can't just listen to what somebody's trying to tell you. You better look at the motive behind of what they're trying to get accomplished. Now, I don't want you to stay right there. Put your hand there. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2 because I didn't finish reading this, but I'm telling you right now I could save a young person if you'd listen to me. I could save you a whole bunch of heartache if you'd listen to me right now. Let's go back to what we read earlier in verse 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. Notice again, is the sentence done? All right, then let's see what it will keep thee and deliver thee from. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forsaketh the covenant of her God, and her house inclineth into death, and her paths into the dead. You know how many good kids just didn't ever really take the Bible serious, didn't read it for themselves, study it for themselves, listen to what Pastor Jerry just said a few minutes ago, heard that before, and never did get around to ever just deciding to read through Proverbs. Never really looked for wisdom, never studied it. And you know what? An evil man came along with a flattering tongue. Next thing you know, they didn't have the discernment to properly evaluate the situation, up ruining and wrecking their lives. young ladies. Well, I wish I could have, folks, I don't even want, I could tell you stories after story after story. Young men, I could tell you story after story after story. And you know what? The devil won't get you for anything else. Nothing else to throw you in the world. Here comes somebody. He brings. The next thing you know, they wink at you, say a few sweet things to you, and you're falling for it. You don't have any discernment. You don't look past what they're saying to discern the motive behind what they're saying. I'm telling you, you need to develop some discernment. Where do you get this? You get it in the book of Proverbs. Where do you get it? You get it by listening to good godly advice. Hey, you get it by listening to your preacher tonight. Okay, I'm not a vase. I'm not a lamp setting up here for decoration. I'm here trying to help you and trying to keep you from heading down the wrong paths. Now absorb this. Get this. Get rid of that stinking stubborn streak. Listen to your preacher. You don't know everything. And you got to develop some discernment. Well, I want to live there on the edge. I just want to get as close to the world. You're going to fall off the edge. Use some discernment. Listen, folks, everybody that says sweet things to you is not a sweet person. Everybody that tells you they love you doesn't love you. Everybody tells you they want what's best for you, don't want what's best for you. Okay, and so you've got to develop some discretion in your life. Isn't this good? It's good for us, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, we'll go there and then we'll jump back over into Nehemiah. One more verse, Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 11. Here's another verse on discretion. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, we're talking about the ability to discern. We're talking about the ability to properly judge a situation, pronounce a correct verdict. Let me just say this to us men, and I think this is towards men for a reason. Now, men, we're just going to be ugly honest with ourselves for a few minutes. But probably the attribute that will keep you from having good discernment more than anything else is anger. Anger. You get mad, you're going to lose discernment. You get mad, you get angry over something, and you know what? Let's just say it, because we're all made out of the same old flesh. But you know what? You don't make good judgment calls when you're mad. You just don't make good judgment calls when you're mad. And so, you know what? What you need to understand there is the Bible says here, discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And that means, that word deferreth means to stretch it out, to make it long. And I think that means two things. I think if you have discernment, you're not going to be flying off the handle all the time. But I think it also helps you to understand that in order to use discernment, you've got to sometimes stretch out. You've got to even out your anger before you try to pronounce a verdict. By the way, moms, dads, this will help us in the discipline of our children. You should never discipline your children when you're angry. Now, what you ought to do, you say, well, they need discipline. Okay, but listen to me. If you're mad, you need to first discipline yourself. Okay, because you're not going to make good judgment calls. Okay, all right. And so, what do? You separate them. You put them in temporary isolation. You put them in they call it the prison. What is it called? Segregation. No, I mean the black hole. I want something more exciting than segregation. Where do you put them? Was it solitary? Put them in solitary confinement. Go to your room. That's not a bad first step. Why are you sending them to their room? Two reasons. You need to cool down and they need to get scareder. They need to think about what they've done and you need some time to think about what you're going to do about it. And so remember this, men, honestly remember this. Now, us guys, we don't think well when we're mad. Nobody does. I think when the Bible says a man there, it's talking about mankind. None of us make good judgment calls when we're mad. Be careful about passing a verdict when you're mad. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody and that's in your mind you passed a verdict that that's a horrible, terrible person because you got mad over something they'd done, and later on you were kind of ashamed of yourself? You know, because one person does one thing one time to you, it doesn't make them a bad person. If you're not careful, you can pass a verdict and declare it publicly. And you know what? The honest truth is that's not fair. And so we've got to be careful about that. Discretion of a man deferreth his anger is a glory to pass over a transgression. It is his glory to pass over transgression. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this. It doesn't mean that we ignore a transgression. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of a transgression. What it's talking about there is handling a transgression with grace, with graciousness. How many of you would like, when you transgress against God, for him to be gracious and merciful to you? Well, then that's fair, isn't it? That we would do that to each other. That's fair that we would do that to our children. And sometimes, folks, listen, make sure, here's what I'm saying. Let's make sure the punishment matches the crime. I mean, so many times, man, we're ready to, you know, 39 lashes with a wet noodle, and they didn't really do, I mean, come on. And we're doing it because we're mad. It's not because it was that bad, it's because we are mad. And so again, just some good things for us. Discretion and anger never are our good companions. They don't make good traveling partners, okay? And so remember that, and hope that'll help you. Back to Nehemiah. Let's talk about discernment in Nehemiah's life. Let's talk a little bit about, see this illustrated in Nehemiah's life. Now, those of you that are enjoying this book, and I talk to you about this, I say it often, but this is a great leadership book. I think men ought to read Nehemiah a lot. I think anyone with leadership position ought to read Nehemiah a lot. You're just going to discern so many great leadership principles. And one of the things we find out is that God had blessed Nehemiah with discretion. He had the quality of discretion, the ability to properly judge a situation, pronounce a correct verdict. Now, let me just go and show you three things real quickly. Let's read the first four verses, and we'll kind of make comment as we read them. And it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Now, see that little, but they thought to do me mischief? Well, let me ask you this. What is he, a mind reader? How dare he judge somebody? Well, he better have judged somebody there. He'd be dead or captured or enslaved or just accidentally have an accident that wasn't really an accident. They were going to rub him out. They had some Jewish hitman waiting to meet him. This wasn't going to be a good experience. But they thought to do me mischief. You know what that's called? Discernment. Discernment. You know what he did? Can I share this with you? He weighed the evidence. What had been evidenced previous by these three musketeers here, this diabolical trio? When all of a sudden have, why have all of a sudden, do they, you think they're going to meet so they can go to Wendy's? They're going to surprise him with a new car? You're going to use some discernment. You know what, if somebody's tried to ruin you spiritually and drag you down spiritually and been an enemy to your Christian life and all of a sudden they want to get chummy with you, hey, you know, if you want to get chummy, come to Jerusalem. Why do you want me to leave Jerusalem and come to the plain of Ono? You see, he had discretion in foreseeing a trap. Now, young people, you better get this. There's some worldly people that all of a sudden, maybe they've been picking on you and making fun of you and downing you, and all of a sudden they change tactics and they want to be your friends. And boy, you know what? Listen, folks, you know why this works? Because all of us want to be accepted. All of us want to be liked. Nobody wants to be, you know, picked on. And you know what? Maybe they'll accept me, and maybe they've changed, and or maybe they are just the same people they have been. They've just changed tactics. You say, Brother, aren't you saying that people can't, are you saying people can't change? No, I'm not saying people can't change, but you know what? If there is a history of wrong behavior, then I will pass the verdict of them having changed when there is a history of right behavior. Now, you call it judging, you say anything you want to, folks, but Jesus told them you're going to know them by their fruits. It's not that people can't change, but you know what? And by the way, if you used to live a wrong life, a wicked life, and you've honestly turned around and embraced Christ, and you want to change, let me say this. I think you're amongst people that will give you a fair chance. But don't be mad if they don't just hand out over everything to you, including their trust, the first time you declare that you're a changed person. That would not be using much discernment. And see, you know what? You earn people's trust. You earn people's trust. Remember? Remember when Saul was converted on the road to Damascus? And God had to send an emissary, and that man had to stand witness to the change in Paul. You know why? Because the church was like, okay, he's a Christian. Okay. Now this is a guy that's been arresting grandma and grandpa and throwing mom and dad in prison and burning churches down, but he's a Christian. Okay, we believe that. You say, but Brother Jerry, he really was. That's right. And you know what? There need to be some evidences for a while. And you know what the evidences were? Brother Barnabas showed up and said, listen, I've listened to him preach in the streets. I've watched the Jews begin to persecute him. I've seen him stand for Christ. Okay, you know what? He started building a history. And so they took him tentatively into their trust. But don't think there wasn't a couple old deacons in the back with a 45 back in there. Now, just in case, you know, he decided at the last minute to blow the whistle and here come the guards. You say, Brother Jerry, that's not fair. No, I'm sorry, but that is fair. That absolutely is fair. No, I'm sorry, that's fair. Just you getting up and pronouncing that you've changed does not mean you've changed. And a person with discernment will hopefully in their heart say, I certainly hope so. And you know what? I'm definitely going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to look at them differently. But they're also going to keep a wary eye. And that is fair. It's called having discernment. Well, you know what? There hasn't been any pattern of change of heart. All of a sudden, these three that have gone and done all of the things in the past. I mean, Nehemiah had to organize his workforce into a defensive army to get the job done because of these rascals. And all of a sudden they want to invite him to a picnic. Something's not adding up here, you see. Now I'm talking about spiritual discernment. By the way, let me just give you some good advice here. I have so many things I want to say and time's limited. But you know what? This helps me and hopefully it'll help you. Let me finish the thought. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Let me just tell you what will save you from wrong associations. And one of the most wonderful, listen, there's a safety in godly busyness. There's a safety in godly busyness. You might, I don't mean this wrong. I don't want this to be misconstrued. But do you know how many different groups of preachers, fellowships, wants Jerry Ross to You do. And you know what they always say? They say, well, you know, these preachers need fellowship. We need these preachers' fellowships. You know, I'm just going to say this. Don't get mad at me. But I can't really find that in the Bible. Well, these days I'm going to say, well, you know, I know it's hard for us to take time to get together, but we really need this. I want to say, where's that verse? Where does it say, you know what, preachers from time to time gather together, eat, and encourage each other? Where is that verse? Honestly, I think you can find some generalized verses, but I mean, now let me tell you what saves Pastor Jerry Ross. I'm busy. It doesn't mean every once in a while, hey, we're going to take a Saturday, we're going to go down and help a brother. Listen, let me just give you this because it's in verse number 1. You know what the difference between being an isolationist is? And we're accused of that. My dad's been accused of that for years. But folks, he built the wall, but it had gates. Now, if you build a wall and there's no gates, you're an isolationist. Because nobody's coming in and nobody's going out. But there's gates. But listen, the gates are there to be open to those that are friendly and want to come in and help the situation. They're also there to close to keep people out and enemies out that want to destroy. And so, yeah, I'm not against these things. And I spend time with preachers. I tend to spend times individual with preachers. I do it on purpose because I want to be a blessing help to a certain individual preacher. But, and I'm not against these things. But, man, if I went to every preacher fellowship that a letter that came in mind, I'd be down there at the plane of Ono and the work wouldn't be getting done. And you know what? Honestly, listen, if folks want you to be involved with them and you know, I mean, in the back of your mind, the Holy Spirit's saying, oh, no. Oh, no. You don't have to say, listen, you dirty rat, I know this is a trick and you guys are a bunch of heathen, but you don't have to do that. You know what you have to say? You know, I'm going to tell you, man, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But I'm telling you, I'm just swamped. And would that be the truth? Paul said, amen. I can't find hardly any extra time to even spend time with my family proper, let alone, yeah. So let's just be careful of your association. Folks, listen to me. Compromising churches always want to recruit fundamental preachers. Compromising preacher groups want to recruit fundamentalist preachers that have standards and stand for soul winning and haven't give up on the King James Bible and still stick to the old paths. They kind of like that you're a part of their group. But let me tell you something, evil communication corrupts goods manners. And so you got to be careful about that, okay? So one of the great ways to keep out of these type of things, just tell the truth. I'm busy. I'm busy doing a great work. You know what? I why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? And by the way, they're persistent. See verse number 4, aren't they persistent? Saying no once isn't going to make them go away. You've got to, but just practice that answer. You know, here come the telegram. It had the same invitation. He wrote verse number 3 on it, sent it back. It came again. He already knew what he was going to say. So he did this 4 times. Now, by the way, isn't it interesting, the discernment? Because notice then what happened. So number 1, he had discretion in foreseeing a trap. Discretion in identifying an enemy. Remember what Malachi said? You're going to understand those that serve righteousness and those that serve evil. You're going to figure out who's on whose side. If you have some discretion, you'll understand who's on doing what here. Now, verse number 5. Then sent Sanballat the servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. By the way, here we go. These have been private communiques so far. This has just been a personal letter from them to Nehemiah, and he could respond privately and turn down their invitation privately. Now all of a sudden they're going to take it out publicly. So they come out with an open letter. That means a public letter. This was even either brought in and read out loud in front of everybody, or there were multiple copies that were posted or distributed. An open letter, you see. And what did it say? Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashem saith it, well, good night, Gashmu. If Gashmu said it, it's got to be right. Say, who's Gashmu, Brother Jerry? I don't know. I can tell you this, he's a gossip. And he's a liar. Because what he says is gossip and lies. But it's amazing how they'll drop a name. Well, even so-and-so said this. Well, then it must be true. You know, I don't know who Gashmu is, but I guess they thought it would carry some weight. That thou and the Jews think to rebel, for thou causest, for which cause thou buildest the wall. See, the reason you're building that wall is you want to rebel. Not only do you want to rebel against the king, it says that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Nehemiah, you want to be the king. That's why you want to set up your own kingdom. And people are saying that. People are saying that. Now notice this, verse 7. And I love this. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. So he's got a group of preacher boys that he's trained. And instead of saying, you know what, let's go out and lift up Christ, let's go out and lift up Nehemiah. Let's go preach Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the king. Nehemiah should be king. Let's put that in the pulpits. Let's have prophets say that. There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king. He's talking about the king of Persia. It's going to be reported to him according to these words. Now watch this. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. You know what he's saying the 5th time? He's saying, these things are being said, and you've got to address them. You've got to face them. Now come down here to the plain of Ono like we've asked you 4 times because you need to answer these accusations. Now, folks, listen to me. Nehemiah had discretion in answering accusations. People put you on the spot. Well, this is being said about you, and this is being said about you, and you need to stand up. You need to stand up and address these things. No, you don't. No, you don't. People try to put you in a situation, well, I've got to say something, I've got to do something, I've got to. Don't let these type of folks make you do something that you know in your heart is not right and healthy and good for the work of God. You better come see us, because listen, these things are being said and you need to answer. Answer to who? Who are they? Since when does Nehemiah answer to a bunch of troublemakers? Since when does Nehemiah answer to a bunch of gossips? Nehemiah wasn't sent there to go around and try to constantly repair his reputation from the enemies of God, the enemies of the work. And so what does he say? Then sent I unto him. He said, let me have that telegram. I got a little note to put on the bottom. There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Period. Send it back to him. Said, you know what? These just your own foolish imaginations. You haven't been able to stop the work, so now you're starting all these rumors and accusations and craziness. But you know what? That's in your heart. You made them up, and you know you made them up. And you know what he did? He put that little thing. Let me answer that. Take that back. Say, okay, guys, where are we at? Let's start getting those gates set. And he stayed focused on the work of God. And I think, Dad, that there's many a young preacher. I think I was this way when I was young. You think you had to run and fix everything, repair anything, and answer everything? You know what? That stuff's going to be around the whole ministry. And as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, sometimes you think, you know, everything that's said about our church, you've got to call the person, you've got to try to fix this. Let me tell you something. They're just troublemakers out there. And if they can keep you busy answering their silly accusations, then you know what? You're not doing the work of God. So he used discernment in answering accusations. So be very careful. Be very careful, folks. Every single thing that we're accused of, or you're accused of, or every accusation, you know what? Sometimes we give that accusation credibility by addressing it. And not everything should be addressed. Some things should just be ignored. Okay, now he showed up with an open letter. Nehemiah gave an open answer here. And I do think there's circumstances when, listen, folks, here's let me give you this truth, because I think this will sum it up for you and we can move on. If somebody attacks me personally and it's just a personal attack against me, I hardly ever answer it. If it's an attack that threatens the work of God, then I will answer it. Because what I'm concerned about is not Jerry Ross. What I'm concerned about is the work of God. And that is the case here. Now, why did he pause to answer this accusation? Notice verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it shall not be done. Now, therefore, O Lord, strengthen my hands. And the purpose of this didn't have anything to do with Nehemiah. And this is why you can't take things personally from troublemakers and gossips. Because it's not about you anyway. It's about them being used of the devil to try to destroy the work of God. And so, you know what? You just got to say, okay, you know what? I'll give a clear, concise answer to this, and I'm moving on. I'm not going to be drawn into a debate. I'm not going to be drawn into an argument. I'm going to stay focused on the work of God. And the best answer to your critics is to keep working and building the kingdom of God, and let God bless your labors. And you know what? That will answer your critics better than anything you have to say. So just stay busy in the work of God. Discernment in foreseeing a trap. Be careful, young people. There's traps being laid for our young people. You've got to have some discernment. Discernment in answering an accusation. And then we see in the last five verses, 10 down through 14, discretion in responding to advice. Now stay with me here. I know we're quarter after, but Pastor Ross, he went almost to a quarter till last Sunday night. So I'm going to have you out of here early. It's going to be great, all right? Verse number 10. If you weren't here last Sunday night, honestly, you need to get that tape. You need to get that CD. I promise you. One of the most important building principles in the book of Nehemiah. Man, that was awesome, Les. Now, discretion in responding to advice. Afterwards, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Methtabel. I just love saying those words. Who, by the way, who was shut up? Now, that's not what you're thinking it is. Who was shut up. Now, this is a priest, by the way, folks. This is one of the priests. This is supposed to be a man of God. Now, watch this. We're talking about using some discretion here. What does it mean he was shut up? I'll tell you what it means. What it means is that he was banned because of some legal impurity from taking part in the temple service or even entering the temple service. Ta-da! And he's going to give Brother Nehemiah some advice here. You say, well, Brother Jerry, we could go to the Old Testament, and that may have been accidental. I understand that. Okay. But I'm talking about having some discretion. I'm talking about having discretion when listening to advice. Here's a man of God, a priest of God. And by the way, listen to what he says. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And by the way, when a priest, let me give you this. You give me the answer. If a priest of God comes to the leader and foretells the future, what has he done? He prophesied. So he was bringing a prophecy to Nehemiah. Here is a man of God who Nehemiah has been taught to respect, the man of God. And he brings a prophecy. He's basically saying this. God told me or gave me a vision or the word of God came to me. And tonight they are going to sneak in and they're going to kill you. So we're going to outwit them. You come with me. We'll go into the temple. We'll shut the doors. Now, what did that do? If Nehemiah would have done that, what would that have done? First of all, he would have accompanied a man that should not have been in the temple, accompanying him into the temple. Not only that, but Nehemiah was not a priest. And he wasn't allowed in the temple. So here comes a man of God, and he says, supposedly man of God, and he comes to him and says, listen to me, God has told me something. Your life's in danger. And here he comes across as, you know what? He wants to help save Nehemiah. He's worried about Nehemiah. And so what does he tell him? He said, well, listen, tonight, listen, they're going to kill you. God's told me, God showed me they're going to kill you. I'm prophesying. I'm telling you what's going to happen in the future. Now you come with me. We're going to go to the temple. We're going to shut the doors. We're going to hide in the temple tonight. Well, Nehemiah, it's time to exercise some godly discernment. You know, not everybody on the TV that's a reverend tells you the truth. Not everybody you hear on the radio that's a Mrs. Reverend tells you the truth. You know, not every Christian that comes to you and says, oh, you know what, you've been so much in my heart lately, and listen, I just think maybe God's impressed me that maybe we ought to start getting together and maybe we can pray and maybe we can gossip. I mean, pray some more. You've got to have some discernment. You've got to have some discernment. You see, here's a guy that wasn't even allowed in the temple. He wants him to go in the temple with him. Nehemiah's not allowed in the temple. Well, you know what? There'll be bells and whistles going off. Watch this. I don't care who claims to be what. If they come to you and they encourage you to do something against the scriptures, they weren't sent by God. I don't care if they're in the pew or standing in this pulpit. If they encourage you to do something against the scriptures, they are not a man of God. So you remember that. Boy, listen to me. I mean this. I really believe the Holy Spirit's good at this if we'd listen. I mean, bells and whistles sometimes will go off in the back of your mind and you can't put your own finger on why, and maybe you can't quote a verse, but you know something's not right. Listen, folks, you need to back out of that situation and be careful who you're listening to and what they're saying. Don't be pressured, rushed. These are the type of people that like to take you by the elbow while they're talking to you and taking you to your own destruction. Sometimes you just got to take your elbow back and say, you know what, I appreciate your concern, but you know what? Well, let's just get Nehemiah's response. I can't improve on it. Verse number 11, then I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. You know what saved man? Let me just say this. You know what saved Nehemiah here? Just being a man. You know, godly manhood will just save you from a lot of things. Just being true to manhood integrity principles. Bible-based manhood integrity principles will save you as a man from doing a lot of stupid things. You know what Nehemiah said? He said, wait a minute. Listen, I'm the governor here. I'm the leader. Now, what would it look like if I went and hid underneath a pew all night long? I mean, I got a better idea. Go get me a sword. Let me walk amongst the people. If I cower, how can I expect them to be courageous? If I go and hide, how can I expect them? They put their lives on the line to build this place. They put their family at risk to build this place. Now, I'm going to go hide under a pew somewhere? I don't think so. See, that's just not in my character. That's just not going to work. I'm not doing that. And so Nehemiah, again, exercises some discernment. By the way, I think verse number 12, let me read verse number 12, and notice this. And lo, I what? Well, that judger. What is he, a mind reader? Who's he think he is? No, I'll tell you what he is. He's a man of God that's got some discernment. He had to make a judgment call. He had to pass a verdict. He looked at this guy, looked at all the evidences, listened to what he said, and said, I don't think so. Now notice this. He said, lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Now how did he perceive that, folks? Just had a feeling? I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't sometimes give you just a feeling. But he had something more solid than a feeling. This man was encouraging him to do something that was against the Scriptures. See, this isn't adding up. I mean, for whatever reason, whether it's my business or not, this guy's not even allowed in the service of the temple. He's shut out of the temple for a while. He's been involved in some act of impurity. And now he's coaching me and wanting me to do something that I know is against the Bible. I may not be a Bible scholar, but I know that I'm not supposed to go in there. And I know he's not supposed to go in there. And besides that, you know what? That's not what men do. Amen. And so this, then he says this. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Now, I don't think Nehemiah knew this at the time. I think he found this out afterwards. Okay? Because he wouldn't have had to perceive that God had not sent him if he knew that as a fact. He made a judgment call based on discernment, and then later on he said, you know what, just what I thought. All right? Now, verse 13, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Why? That they might have matter of an evil report that might reproach me. And let me tell you, they had this thing set up, folks. But he'd have went that night and gotten to the temple. As soon as he'd walked out the next morning, there would have been the accusers with the law of God open, pointing to the verses and accusing him of breaking the laws of God, wanting him to step down from a leadership position, and the wall could have ceased the work. The gates might not have never gotten up. You know what? He had to have some discernment. I'm done, but men, look at me. Let me talk to the men a minute. Look at me. We live in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. And Satan is laying traps for men and young men constantly. You have to have godly discernment. You have to listen to that indwelling Holy Spirit. You have to stay in the Word of God. You have to judge your actions based on what's the Bible say about this. Not what's convenient to do or what am I being pressured into doing. What does God's Word say to do? And follow the Word of God. Ladies, you have to have discernment. You have to have godly discernment. Okay? Stop passing verdict based on your emotions. Pass verdict based on the principles of God's Word. Stop saying this is right and this is wrong based on how you feel. Base it on the Bible. And it'll help you in life so much. Young people, listen to me. If you do not develop discernment during your teenage years, I can prophesy, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be a casualty. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to fall in some traps that you need not fall in. So develop some discernment. Okay? Be smart. Be wise. Don't take everything at face value. Don't be rushed into a decision. Most people are trying to rush you into a decision. They're doing so because it's not a wise decision. Always take time to pray. Always take time to consider. Always say, you know what? I want to spend some time praying about that. Thank you very much. I think I'll spend some time thinking and praying about that. Don't be pressured. Don't make decisions based on pressure in your life. Take a step back. Make the right kind of decision. Well, what are we going to do with this Tobiah and Sanballat? Well, Nehemiah stops by just praying for him. Verse 14, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works. And on the prophetess, Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets, they would have put me in fear. And let me say this, folks. You know what? Don't get in the retaliation business. Don't get in the revenge business. Don't get in the bitterness business. These things that have happened in this chapter to Nehemiah could have made him a bitter man. He could have said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting back at these rats. I can't believe what they tried to do to me. Can you believe what they tried to do to me? I'll tell you what, I'll fix them. And you know what? The same result will have happened. You're not building the wall. You're not focused on the work of God. Now you're focused on revenge. So pray for your enemies. Isn't that what the Bible said? Isn't that what Jesus said? Pray for your enemies. He prayed for them. He said, you know what, Lord? All I can do is just put them in your hand. You remember them. Because you see, God has better discernment than any of us. And God, if I'm misreading them, then forgive me. But if I am reading them correctly and they've become an enemy of the work, then Lord, you think upon them. You know, he didn't say kill them, blow them up. He just said, Lord, you think upon them. I'll just leave it in your hands. I'll let you decide what's best to do. You're wiser than I am. You've got a better perspective than I do. I'll just let you take care of it. Well, that's a wise way to live. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at this great truth, that you'll help us develop in our life discernment. Discernment so important in making of decisions. And I pray, Lord, that you'd lead us. Guide us, please, Lord. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.